Welcome to Side Podcast, episode 24, part 1, France qualifying. It's kind of old news, but weeks and weeks and weeks ago, you went to Silverstone, didn't you?
It was only 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Does news kind of go out of date that quickly?
A lot's happened since then.
It's been a busy couple of days, isn't it? Yeah, I went to Silverstone testing. First time I've been to a Formula One test.
What was it like?
It was very good, actually. I only went 2 of the 3 days. Because the third day wasn't particularly good weather, and I was a bit exhausted.
You had sore feet and sunburn.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Like I said, I'd never been to a test before. Wasn't really prepared. I kind of went prepared for bad weather and got scolded.
It's Britain for you.
Yeah. In the same day as getting scolded, I also got windswept and drenched. So, you know, how are you supposed to prepare for that, I ask you? Anyway, it was good. I enjoyed it. So lots and lots of Formula One cars, all but Honda and Super Aguri turned up.
They were somewhere else.
They went to Jerez, I think, or something to do some other kind of testing.
Was Hamilton there?
No. Oh. He was never going to be there, except on Tuesday, the announcer, in a somewhat optimistic way, probably trying to sell more tickets, claimed he was going to turn up on Wednesday. And he didn't. So no sign of Hamilton, but lots and lots and lots of fans turned up on Wednesday.
That's a bit cheeky.
Well, you can't blame me for trying, can you? I mean, who's going to prove him wrong?
On the first day, you phoned our Skype number, didn't you?
I forgot to take
a comment.
Yeah, I forgot to take the portable recorder with me, so I thought I'd ring in. Do you want to hear it?
I do. Okay. Very much.
Hello, I'm at the Silverstone test, day one of Silverstone testing, and there's a couple of Formula One cars going around, and I thought you might like to hear it. I forgot to bring the portable voice recorder, so I thought I'd better phone in a hello, and so we can play it on the show at some point in the future. Coming up now is Pedro De La Rosa and McLaren! I might have gone a little bit deaf there. Lots of cars going around at the moment. It's been quiet all morning. Not very many people out, and then suddenly all cars seem to take the track 1 hour before the session closed. Coming up now, we've got a Toro Rosso, but I couldn't tell you who's driving that thing. Plenty of traction control on that car. Oh Lord, here's another one, who's this? That was a Red Bull. It's all the same stuff, there's cars and stuff. Anyway, I gotta go.
Did you get that?
Sort of. There was lots of cars.
Lots of cars and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Lots of cars and stuff.
And they're quite loud. And they kind of deafened me. I was actually surprised at the volume of those cars. And I'll tell you something really weird. After 2 days of testing, I kind of went home and went to sleep. And I could hear the cars in my head still going round.
Like when you come off a boat and you can still feel or see.
Yeah. Sick. It just kind of got inside my brain and I couldn't shift them. I could just hear cars going round all night, which is a bit weird. But I had a good time, and I highly recommend it. You come in next time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I wanted to come this time, but I was unavailable.
You were busy.
Didn't you complain about not being allowed certain places?
Well, on Tuesday, I turned up oblivious, obviously not really knowing what was going on, and just had free access to wander all around the circuit. And so I did a whole kind of 360 pretty much everywhere. And then I turned up on Wednesday, and sort of thinking that was really cool, going around the back and seeing all the cars down it, hanging straight and that kind of thing. Planned to do the same on Wednesday. Arrived at the gate, the guy said, no, you're not allowed down there. You were never supposed to go down there. And you're only allowed around the main pit straight and the sort of the slow corner at the end of the track. Which is a bit rubbish, I thought, after I'd seen all the cool corners. So Wednesday wasn't such a good day as Tuesday. If you'd have had access to the whole track, it'd been much better, I think. The team seemed to find something good out of it, too. I heard lots of good things coming from the press people in each of the teams. So they were kind of hoping that to see much improvement at the French Grand Prix this weekend.
Officially, this is our podcast that covers the French qualifying, but before we get there, there's so much news.
I think we should be doing a podcast every day, don't you?
A daily F1 podcast.
Good Lord, there's so much stuff to cover, we just haven't got time to fit it all in. What's up first?
Something that you'll love, all about the new rules for 2011.
What do you mean?
You like the technology stuff.
Right. What is, it's Max again, isn't it?
He wrote a letter to the team principals and, said that there'll be some stuff going on in 2011.
So planning ahead, what kind of stuff do you have to say?
I don't know. You tell me.
Right, well, I've heard the plans for any diesel turbo engines, they've been dropped. No manufacturer support. No one's interested in making a diesel turbo engine. So that's out of the window. Not going to happen. Max is bringing in some ideas for a standard chassis. You know in GP2 where they all run the same chassis? And then they just paint it different colours. Yeah. So what he's basically saying is you paint it with your sponsor's colours, but everyone has the same chassis. That's one idea.
Is that a good idea?
Well, it would reduce costs. It would make it less interesting.
It'd be a bit boring.
Yeah, it would be less kind of...
Like the way that it's boring this year that they all run Bridgestones.
Yep, and they've all got homologated engines. So, you know, there's no
rev... That's easy for you to say.
Homologated engines. So there's no, basically less overtaking because everyone's road limits hit a limit before they get a chance to overtake. So yeah, it would make it probably more boring than it currently is. Something that is a kind of a backtrack on the FIA's previous kind of statements is the idea of encouraging flexible wings. Now, you know what's been going on with flexible wings for the last 2 years, clamping down, more tests, teams accused of cheating and all that.
And now they want to allow it.
Now they're going to encourage it, I think. What they're basically saying, as I understand it, at the moment you design a Formula One car, and it's always a compromise between straight line speed and cornering. So if you're going to all this effort to make green technologies and fuel-efficient engines, it's no good sticking loads and loads of aerodynamic parts to slow the car down in a straight. So what they're kind of trying to propose is movable aerodynamic parts that lift up and get out the way when the car's in a straight, making it very fast and very efficient. Then they come back down when it gets to a corner and it slows down and they need all this extra downforce. Does that make sense?
If they turn around and say, yeah, you can do it now, that's going to make the last 2 years just ridiculous.
Well, they'll probably come up with some kind of political reason, like it's impossible to enforce the rules as they currently are. Kind of the same thing they did with traction control, you know. Ah, we can't enforce traction control, so you're allowed to use it now. Even though really, we're just backtracking on before when we said you couldn't.
Max proposed all this stuff in a letter to the team principals earlier this month, and he said, we believe that a standard chassis is the best solution. The competition would then be between drivers armed with rival fuel-efficient drivetrains, but otherwise in equal cars. Painted differently and with different sponsors, the cars would look as different as they do today to anyone but an expert. I don't think so.
No, not really. And I can't see the manufacturers being too interested either in just making exciting drivetrains. I mean, what would be the point? We make the best drivetrain in Formula One. Brilliant. I'm not going to go out and buy that car because of that, are you?
He also said, what we are really trying to do is to put in rules that will improve the show. That means different things to different people, but we get the impression that fans want to see closer racing and overtaking.
No. Where did they get that idea from?
Active aerodynamics and active balance control is the way to do that. At the moment, the balance goes to pot when you're in the wake of another car. If we're able to change the aero balance of a car that is in turbulence behind another car, the drivers will be more confident to overtake.
That is slightly mad. What I think they're trying to say is, if one car's following another car, the car that's following is allowed to figure out that it's following and then change its aerodynamic properties in order to make it faster so that it can overtake. Does that make sense?
Not at all.
So it's got some kind of device on it. The front says, oh, there's lots of turbulence up front. I must be following a car. Therefore, I'm going to make myself go faster than that car. And then when I'm no longer in its turbulence, it can make itself go faster in my wake. And then it's madness. That's a crazy idea.
So I guess it's at the moment he's like proposed all this stuff to the manufacturers again. We get to see what they say.
Yeah, I think it's some kind of political game, really. He kind of proposes a load of insane ideas and the manufacturers go, well, we're not having that. And then he says, well, if you're not having that, you won't have this thing. And then it's kind of like pawns in a game of chess, which, you know, they kind of, the things that you put up front that get taken away straight away in order to protect your king. That's how I'm kind of seeing these proposals.
Talking about chess, I wrote a blog post about Frank Montagny,
right,
my new superhero. I want to see whether he's going to get a race drive or not, and I can't figure these things out in my head. I'm not clever enough for that kind of thing. So I threw it open to see what people think. And they're not optimistic, let's put it that way.
No, see, I kind of am, really, what with Ralph having quite a bad season. I would kind of think that maybe there might be a chance for Frank to jump in his seat.
Well, he was asked about his testing role at the moment, and he said, no, not a lot of testing. At the beginning of the year, it was quite okay. I had a lot of work to do with the team and we developed the car quite well. But since the beginning of the year, one of the two drivers is struggling a little bit with the car, so he's asking to do more testing. We only have one car, so all my days which were on the planning have been taken off by him, unfortunately for me. That's the deal. When you sign the contract, you know it can be like this. You hope it's not going to be, but there is the possibility. I hate Ralph.
You saying that, he didn't say that.
Yeah,
did he?
No, I said that.
You hate Ralph because he's taken all of Frank's driving days.
Of course, he was diplomatic and wouldn't say who, but we all know.
One of the two drivers is unhappy with the car, so would that be the slow one?
Just be the one that trundles around at the back all day.
Okay, so Ralph's officially your least favourite driver, and yep. Frank is your new favourite. Is he usurped button in the quest for your heart?
Yes. I read that Renault think they're getting better.
They were quite happy with the Silverstone test, I think.
Kovalainen told autosport.com that they definitely found something again, but he doesn't say what. Maybe his keys or something.
So they find some kind of performance advantage at Silverstone, and they think they're now going to challenge BMW, don't they? Interestingly, that they find the issue, but they don't think they're going to be challenging at the front yet. They just think they're going to challenge the guys who are in front of them.
And we found out why Ferrari have been not so good recently.
Big news on the Ferrari gossip front.
Apparently, they had a broken wind tunnel.
Caused lots and lots and lots of damage, apparently.
About 2 months ago or something, they found a fault. Yeah. And they had to stop testing.
GrandPrix.com actually had the scoop on this one. I think they kind of released the information first. And apparently, the belt, the drive belt that, you know, the car rolls on in order to test forward motion, broke or snapped or came away from its holdings at some point. And all sorts of chaos ensued within the wind tunnel and caused all sorts of damage.
I like what Jean Todt said, though.
What did he say?
He said, it's not an excuse. It's up to us to have a wind tunnel that doesn't break. Fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aren't Ferrari suing their own people?
It's all go in Maranello, isn't it? What a hell of a year these guys are having. Yeah, they've decided to turn around and sue Nigel Stepney.
Of course, they are being very tight-lipped about the situation. But apparently a substance was found in Monaco, in the factory.
Yeah, before the Monaco Grand Prix, they found something in the engine, some kind of white powder, potentially, allegedly, which they've managed to trace back to or believe they've got some reason to accuse Nigel Stepney of something.
They called the police in to investigate and everything.
Yeah, there's
got him arrested.
Funny laws in Italy where you basically accuse somebody of something and then the police have to investigate it, no matter whether or not, you know, there's any truth in the rumours. And they also did it at a weird time when I think Nigel was on holiday. So they waited till he was out of the country and then decided to announce this to the press.
Sort of on the same subject of white powder, but maybe of a different kind.
Nice link.
Mark Webber has been talking about drug testing.
He has. I think the FIA have started some kind of mandatory drug test in France for the first time this year. Occasionally, they've done it in the past in previous races and previous years, but for the first time in 2007, they're starting to do a couple of drug tests. They're not planning to do it at every single race because they claim it's too expensive.
And Mark Webber obviously had a lot to say about that.
Yes.
He said, how can it be too expensive in this game? If they can do it for a bloke jumping into a sandpit, how come they can't do it in F1? We should do more of it.
It's a fair point. I can't see how he thinks it's expensive. Isn't it just a pot and like, you know, well, you know what drug testing is. I mean, it doesn't sound very expensive to me, and that compared to, you know, the kind of money they're spending on wheel nuts these days, I'm sure they could do it every single race. And almost every other sport does it, so why shouldn't they?
If we weren't going to watch the race at Silverstone, apparently we could go to the cinema instead.
Well, for the first time this year, Formula One went widescreen, and now it's going high definition. There's obviously no broadcasters in, I don't think any country, certainly not in this country, that can run a high definition feed of Formula One at the moment. So what they're going to do is put it in the cinema, and they've got a whole bunch of cinema chains across the UK where you can go on a Sunday afternoon, pay for a ticket, get a free programme, sit in the cinema with like-minded Formula One fans and watch uninterrupted coverage of Formula One.
No adverts?
No adverts at all. I'm not sure who's going to do the commentating. They may take the ITV feed. I presume they're going to take Martin and James. I guess they're just going to keep going through the adverts. I don't know. No one's really said on that front. But uninterrupted coverage of Formula One in high definition. I kind of wish we weren't going to the race.
Yeah, I know. That would be really good.
I think it's a pilot. I'm not sure if they're going to be doing it again anytime soon. Obviously, it depends on how successful
Lewis it is. Hamilton, really.
Well, yeah. But hopefully it goes well. And hopefully we'll get a chance at some point in the future to join in with the fun. I think it's £15 a ticket, which is quite a bargain, really, considering you get a programme, to watch a two-hour race in the cinema. No one's saying whether or not Bernie's going to get a cut on the confectionery sales, though.
The customer car thing, rearing its ugly head again.
What's news on customer cars?
Well, Spyker are complaining that Superguri are getting updates from Honda. So when Honda update their aero stuff, they pass the information on to Superguri.
That seems unlikely, seeing as Superguri are currently kicking Honda's backside in terms of championship points. If I was Honda, I wouldn't be giving them my parts. But they did both sneak off to a little secret test, didn't they, in Jerez last week. So maybe something's going on.
And Honda have finally put their names on the car, the charity.
Yeah, your name's on there somewhere, but it's a bit small, isn't it?
How would you ever find it?
I can't remember where we chose, can you?
Because the idea is that from far away, it still looks like the Earth car.
Yeah.
But it's only close up that you can actually see all the names.
The tiny little inscriptions of names. And
it's
they're
a bit
kind
rubbish.
Of, well, they're kind of taking the same idea that they used to have a couple of years ago, all of the team members' names on the rear wing end plates, didn't they? We saw that when we took a look at it in Autosport show. And they've kind of taken the similar concept, just line after line after line of names and names and names. You'll go around in circles during the French Grand Prix. Well, assuming Button can get off the start line.
And talking of the French Grand Prix, we are good at the links today. Flavio Briatore's had a word to say about there being no French Grand Prix next year.
Oh, good. What's he going to say on the subject?
He said, for Renault, it is important to have a race in France. Really, we don't care about the logistics if it is in Manicourt or Paris. Maybe not Manicourt, but I hope we hold a Grand Prix in France and maybe in a better location. Not one to mince his words.
Oh, great. So this really is the last Manicourt race, isn't it?
If the French team don't even want it there.
Yeah. The team principal of the French team, the only national French team, doesn't want it to be Manicourt. It's not going to be Manicourt. Never mind. Paris, here we come.
Now we can actually get on to the race weekend.
Mm.
Free practice one. Sato crashed in the pit lane.
Yeah, he got stuck.
Blocked everyone in.
You had a bit of a nightmare at the beginning. The pit lane appears to be quite small in France. I guess there's no plans to upgrade it.
There's no point, is there?
There's no point. No. They've kind of been tagged on the end and they got a bit squashed and they can't get their cars out of the garage.
And also Hamilton pulled over during first practice.
Yeah.
Is that the first technical failure for McLaren?
I think it is in a race weekend, isn't it? Serious engine problems. It shut down due to cooling issues. It thought it was too cold or it felt it wasn't running at the correct temperature and just switched off. So he had to park on the side of the track.
The top three in free practice one were Raikkonen, Massa and Alonso.
So first blood to Ferraris.
Yes. Free practice two, Davidson crashed into Liuzzi and couldn't get out the pit lane.
Right.
Sounds familiar.
Yep.
Weber broke down.
Anything to do with gearbox?
Well, we don't know, but what are the chances?
Yeah.
Toro Rosso were third and fourth.
Ooh,
which is incredible.
That is impressive.
And it's the first time that they're running a seamless shift gearbox. How come they can do it and Red Bull can't?
You raise a good point. I don't think Liuzzi finished in fourth. He was definitely running fourth at some point. Speed finished third, didn't he?
Yeah, Speed was third, and the two Ferraris were in front of him.
Wow,
again.
Very good.
In free practice three, Heidfeld had back problems, bit of back pain. I think he said that Silverstone was a bit bumpy.
Yeah, he didn't seem to do much, actually. He didn't go around very often, and they got Glock in to replace him quite early on in the test. And then it looks like the problems come back during free practice three.
This time, both Super Aguri drivers got out the pit lane okay. That's good stuff. But the session was stopped halfway through because of some fake grass.
Yeah.
It got torn up and they had to come out with a staple gun.
And a Stanley knife.
And then stamp on it a bit and make it work.
Highly technical, this sport, isn't it?
Alonso suffered this time. He had to sit out almost the entire session. More McLaren unreliability. I think he managed to squeeze in one lap towards the end. But Hamilton got the fastest time in the very few last seconds
It was touch and go, wasn't it? Because Ferrari definitely had the legs on them almost 90% of the session. So it was close.
Into qualifying, Ferrari have a different coloured nose, it looks like.
Well, you know they brought in the new, Ferrari colour scheme. They've gone back to the traditional red of Ferrari rather than the Marlboro, which is like an orangey colour red. A couple of races back, Monaco, they went back to that colour. I think they've got a new nose, or they're running a different nose at this race, and it seems to be the old orangey red. So either they haven't had time to paint it, or they've gone and got an old part and stuck it back on the car. Not sure what's going on there. Definitely a different shade of red, though.
Their nose looks a bit like a plane.
Oh, they've got some new winglets. Yeah, similar to Renault and McLaren, but much larger and going to swept backwards like some aircraft wings. Seems to be doing the job, though.
In qualifying one, Lewis went fastest pretty much straight away. He was a whole second faster than everyone else at the time that he did that. Then Alonso caught up with him. They were pretty closely matched, but Hamilton was just in front. Then Raikkonen and Massa went out and split the two McLarens.
So they're on the pace.
Towards the end of the session, everyone bombed it out of the pits, except for the top five, because, you know, they were safe and happy at the top. Weber went really well, got P6. And there were 0.3 covering 10 cars in the midfield. I mean, how close is that?
Very close. Right at the end, Suto broke down, didn't he?
Yes, right at the very end.
He hadn't got through anyway, but had he got through, he would have been stuck out in the field somewhere.
He was out with teammate Albers. Davidson, Sato was out, and he's going to get a 10-place drop. So
basically starting at the back. He's getting a template drop for Misdemeanor and Indy, by the way, in case you'd forgotten.
Wurtz is out, and he's been practicing qualifying, apparently, so it's obviously not working for him.
He did a couple of qualifying runs in Silverstone, I think, to try and get up to speed, and he definitely seems to be his Achilles heel this season. He's not he's racing really well. He's obviously, you know, he finished third in Canada, and he's on the pace when it comes to racing, but he's not great in qualifying. So they tried and tried and tried to kind of get him up to speed. Yeah, it didn't make much difference, really. Still out in the first session.
And the final loser was Lietzi.
Yeah, which is a shame because his teammate at that point was about 13th, wasn't he? Speed did really, really well.
Vittorio Rossi were looking really good this weekend, and he was out in the first qualifying.
That's a damn shame for him.
Before qualifying two, your new best friend, Ted Kravitz, had a bit of a scoop. He said, Hamilton and Alonso are running different brake discs.
Yeah, well, Alonso's been having issues all this year with the McLaren brake, and he doesn't feel they bite early enough, and he doesn't have confidence under braking, which is why he thinks Hamilton's been getting the better of him in a couple of races. Last year at Renault, he used Hitco brakes, which have a better early bite, but the downside to those is they require more cooling. So McLaren don't run those brake discs. Alonso's now requested, or basically insisted, that he use those brake pads in the McLaren. So he's now running a slightly more inefficient, aerodynamically inefficient McLaren than Hamilton, but one that he has more confidence under braking in.
I thought it was really interesting. There was we heard a bit of team radio to Nico Rosberg, and they were telling him where exactly he'd been losing time. They were telling him, you know, you're braking too early into turn 15, stop it. I mean, how much information do they need?
Well, I guess they were comparing it to Wurtz, who was getting a better time in that sector than Rosberg was, and they could see where Wurtz was quicker. They could see what he was doing with his braking, with his steering, with his turning in, that kind of stuff. And they're basically saying, look, if you could just sort out this corner, you'd be 0.01 of a second quicker in this corner, and that makes the difference between where you are and where you need to be.
It was David Coulthard's turn to have gearbox issues.
Mm-hmm.
Hamilton was out early, and he went fastest with Raikkonen behind him. Alonso left it until he was completely last of that section before he decided to exit the pits. I mean, there's leaving it to the last minute, and then there's just being a fool.
Right. And did it help him?
Kubica went P4 ahead of him.
Oh, dear.
And towards the end, everyone pitted except for Alonso and Heidfeld, who kept on running, and then Heidfeld jumped to P6. So,
who was that at the end of quali 2 then?
Ralf Schumacher, Button, Barrichello, Webber, Speed and Coulthard.
So Honda were pretty confident about the new revised pace of their car, and they seemed to both get through to Q2 on their own merit, but they didn't go any farther, did they?
They got through really easily to the second session, but it didn't look like they were anywhere near fast enough to get through to the third one.
No, but they have been having issues getting through to Q2, so that is an improvement, just maybe not as much as they'd hoped.
Unusual things going on at the start of qualifying three, because Hamilton was not first in the queue out of the pit lane.
Blimey.
Two Ferraris ahead of him. And even more unusual, Alonso was in the queue as well.
Now,
I mean, usually he waits.
Yeah, normally he sits in the garage till everyone's gone.
But they were there for ages queuing, weren't they? It was about 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, before they got going, before the lights went green.
Alonso overtook Hamilton, which we all thought was weird. And we were trying to figure out whether he had less fuel or if it was a mind game psychological thing to make himself feel better, but then he went straight back in the pits. So
yeah, his session was over at that point. Bad news. Was that gearbox issues for Alonso?
Well, there was a puff of smoke and it looked suspiciously like engine, and Hamilton was told over the radio that Alonso had engine problems, but then right at the end of the session they were talking to Martin Whitmarsh and he said it was gearbox.
Okay, so he's not gonna drop 10 places. He's gonna start the race in 10th position,
which isn't as bad as it could be, but it's still pretty
blimey,
pretty poor.
That's not great.
It might make for an interesting race, though. The rest of the field, Raikkonen went fastest, and he held that for ages until Hamilton got P1, but he was swiftly beaten by Massa. They all pitted and went again, but nothing changed. So the final positions were Massa, Hamilton, Raikkonen, Kubica, Fisichella, Kovalainen, then Heidfeld, Trulli, Rosberg, and Alonso.
It's interesting to note, actually, this isn't the first qualifying this year whereby on a lower fuel run, none of the cars have beaten their previous times. So they go out sort of midway through quali 3, do a really, really fast lap, then come in, burn off a couple, get a new set of tyres, burn off a bit more fuel. You'd expect them to go even quicker with more rubber on the track, less fuel in the cars. They should all beat their own times, yet for, I think, the second time this year, nobody managed to beat their time.
That's right, because Massa went round again, but he was slower than his original pole position.
Hamilton didn't improve. Raikkonen didn't improve. I wonder why that is.
So it's the first time for a few weeks that Ferrari have actually been faster than McLaren.
Yeah.
It's good news.
Massa looks lighter than Raikkonen. You can't tell how good Hamilton's lap was because obviously Alonso didn't run. We didn't actually see a fast lap from Alonso. So we can only assume that he's got a sensible amount of fuel on board.
Raikkonen's looking much better.
Yeah, he seems happy with the car. Ferrari were one of the teams that were coming out of the Silverstone test with kind of, you know, lots of smiles on their faces and kind of happy noises coming from them. We've improved our car. Things are looking much better. And maybe actually they might find something in the car that Raikkonen likes and can drive and work with a little bit better than he has been so far.
But he still doesn't look quite as comfortable as Massa. Kubica is ahead of Heidfeld, which is good news.
But both Renaults split the BMWs, didn't they?
They did, yes. So like we were saying earlier, the Renaults have found something.
Well, they might have, or it might be a case of Heidfeld with a bad back.
Yeah.
Difficult to tell. They look pretty consistent. At one point, Kovalainen was ahead of Fisichella, but he managed to swap those places around in the last run. And they both seem pretty evenly matched, so that's pretty good. Trulli did well. He obviously, again, beat his teammate and again made the top 10 in a car that probably shouldn't be there. And everything else is pretty much situation as normal. It's going to be a good race, do you think?
Depends on the rain situation.
It's going to be, well, if it rains, it's going to be a great race.
Whenever we say it's going to rain, it never does.
That's true. Whatever happens, Alonso's going to have to fight his way through the field. If he can get a sensible start and at least keep his nose clean in his car in one piece, him coming to the front is going to be pretty good to watch. Because obviously he got through to quality 3 on merit, they've already sort of decided his fuel load and they can't change that. He didn't get any chance to burn any laps off, but at the same time, he's obviously not going to get any back from the FIA. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do with his strategy, because his strategy is already kind of confirmed and it's not going to be an ideal 10th place strategy. It could be a bit of a challenge for him tomorrow. A bit of bad weather will definitely play into his hands.
So we'll be back tomorrow with our usual race report and also a preview of Silverstone.